Welcome, everyone, to today's ILTA podcast entitled Unlocking the Power of LinkedIn for Legal Professionals. I think all of us have seen LinkedIn as a platform for professionals for connecting and sharing and learning, and that only ratcheted up during the pandemic, where we saw whole new uses of the platform for a variety of functions and purposes. And the legal profession certainly is no different than other professions. I personally have seen many professionals that have started to use LinkedIn in new ways as a result or during the pandemic. And so today's podcast is really to hone in on that and see if we can get some lessons learned and some tips for best leveraging LinkedIn for legal professionals. I'm your moderator today, Brendan Miller. I'm a legal innovation consultant and formerly director of practice systems and innovation. And I'm thrilled to be joined by our speaker and expert today, Stephanie Marone. For those of you who are on LinkedIn, particularly in the legal space, you probably have seen Stephanie or some of her content. She's a frequent publisher and contributor of content on LinkedIn. So she's going to have a lot to share with us today in the brief time we have. Stephanie's a fractional marketing director, social media marketing and business development strategist with Stephanie Marone Consulting and the Social Media Butterfly. But before we dive in, Stephanie, would you like to take a moment, introduce yourself and things to get us started?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited. It's my favorite topic. So it's great to be here. You did a great job introducing me. By the way, the whole reason I was able to start my business was because I was posting on LinkedIn. I had a brand and I had been doing it long before many people had said, you know what, this is a platform we should really pay attention to, which a lot of people paid attention to it during the pandemic. So it's never too late. We'll talk about that today, but I'm really excited to be here. I live in New York City. Like you said, I've worked at lots of law firms. So I have a lot of intimate knowledge of big firms, small firms, mid-sized firms, everything in between. And I've been on my own for about 3.5 years. So prior to that, I was in-house at many firms and so took a lot of what I learned there into what I do now. So yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Perfect. Awesome. So why don't we get started with, I consider the sort of the welcome mat, if you will, for LinkedIn being the profiles that those of us who are on LinkedIn that we create for folks to learn about us and kind of be the entree point. Starting there, what are some tips or guidance you can give for folks thinking about how they want to create a compelling profile, that welcome mat, if you will, for folks?
Yeah, I mean, so this is so important, the actual profile. So I really like to break LinkedIn down into three areas. Okay. So the areas I think are the most important are your profile, which we'll talk about now, your connections, and then your participation on the platform. So before you can do number two and number three, which is like really have a robust network and then really use it to your advantage for business development and for branding, what's so important is to get your profile to be very strong. Now, people used to think my LinkedIn profile is another resume. And no, it's not. I want everyone to think of their LinkedIn profile more like a homepage for yourself and your entire professional background. So your LinkedIn profile is essentially a website and it should be treated as such. So there are features, Brendan, on LinkedIn now that you can utilize to make it so much more than just, you know, a catalog of all of your past experiences. And so, for example, I would say number one, you need to have a very strong headline. A headline is what gets pulled into the Google searches and your LinkedIn searches. That headline really should encapsulate, I think that's a word, your entire professional history and why you do what you do and for whom, right? So if you don't customize that, LinkedIn will pull your current job title and your current company. And for many people, that doesn't justify or really describe who you are. So, you know, you don't want to go overboard with the adjectives that call yourself an expert and a pioneer, but you do want to talk about the things you've done over the course of your career and what you want to be known for. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, your LinkedIn cover image. So many people do not customize this area, or they use their firm's cover image, and that's fine. Here's an idea. Go on Canva. You can use the free version of Canva, or you can use Adobe, whatever you're comfortable with, and customize one. Don't use the pre-populated ones that are in LinkedIn because they look like everyone else's. Your LinkedIn cover image should include your contact information, number one, because LinkedIn makes it very hard for people to find your contact information. So at least put your email address, your website URL. And by the way, Brendan, you can change that up as much or as you want. So if you have a webinar coming up, I've been known to update my cover image. I give different cover images to firms, you know, for awards they've won or whatever it is. But contact information, number one. Number three, you need to use the featured section. So the featured section is a way for you to essentially, like a website, have news items on your homepage. And so you can put things like a link to your blog, a link to your email newsletter, an article you want to draw attention to, anything, right? But that featured section is right front and center on your profile. And then I would say you must have a strong about section. So many people don't come up high in LinkedIn searches because they don't fill out the LinkedIn about section, which is your bio. And if you have a bio on a website, great, but you need to turn it into the first person. So it's very much informal, coffee talk. I am a strategic marketing consultant who specializes in blah, blah, blah. I've been working in law firm marketing for 20 plus years. I love what I do, and here's why. You want to be a human on LinkedIn. That's the key for success. And then please make sure you fill out all of your past jobs and talk about the things that you've done at those jobs. Make sure you have your education in there, because then you can connect with people who've worked at your, who are part of those alma maters and all of those things. And then of course there are other sections like skills, certifications, articles, those sorts of things. But these are the most important sections in my opinion.
Awesome. Well, there was a lot there. I jotted down a couple that spoke to me in particular, putting your contact information in the banner cover image, and also making sure that about statement is in first person. Good stuff. So once you've got the profile up and you've adapted the advice you just gave, you know, there's all this talk in not just in legal, but in all industries about being a thought leader, right? About achieving that status of being someone that folks want to hear from, and they look to you for, the latest best practices. But achieving that status of being a quote unquote thought leader can seem challenging. But LinkedIn seems like a platform that is sort of designed to help at least in bolstering thought leader status. For someone that is wanting to do that, what advice would you have for how LinkedIn might help them to sort of become known more as a thought leader in the space they want to?
Yeah. So if you're not taking advantage of LinkedIn for thought leadership, you're missing a great platform to increase your visibility and build your brand and build your business. So number one, LinkedIn is free. So why wouldn't you use it? You don't need a blog today. I have a blog. You should check out my blog, socialmediabutterflyblog.com. Here's the thing about LinkedIn. You do not need an email list if you don't have one, because you've already got your built-in audience. So there's a few things I would recommend that you do. Number one, I want you to create a content calendar. And the way that, if you're getting serious about posting, you need to think about the things you want to post about that will support your brand and your business. And number one is creating your content pillars. Okay. So I'm going to throw a lot of information out at people, but take from it what you will. Content pillars, the 3 to 5 areas in your wheelhouse that support your brand and your business. You're not going to deviate from those. So for me, I talk about, marketing strategy for law firms, social media for law firms, different kinds of topics around those areas. You will not see me talking about law firm finance because I don't know anything about law firm finance and it doesn't support my brand and my business. So make sure you're only talking about the things for which you want to be known, okay? Mm-hmm. From that point, you can, number one, go and request a download of all of your content from LinkedIn from prehistoric times. And you do that through the desktop version, and you can get a copy of your information sent to you. That helps you build what I mentioned, that content calendar. Make it super simple. You're going to have those content pillars. You're going to have dates when you're going to post. You're going to repurpose some of your posts, all of those things. You need to get organized before you build a strategy. Otherwise, you're essentially throwing spaghetti at the wall, which is never a good idea. Now, you want to get started posting. You know those areas that you want to be known for. So you're going to write about those areas. You're going to think about the different kinds of posts you can post. So you can use a LinkedIn newsletter, which to me is the most effective way to reach people because that goes directly to the notification section and into people's email inbox, depending on their settings. So I love that. And then you're going to think about the different kinds of posts you can have. Maybe you're going to reshare something somebody else posted. I prefer when you create your own original content, make sure that you're varying it up. Maybe you want to try video. Video works really well. Short form video, just with your iPhone. And then think about maybe an image, images where you include images of yourself do really well as well. Just a word to the wise, no matter what you do, don't put links in that post or else you will drive traffic away from LinkedIn, which LinkedIn doesn't like, and the algorithm will ding you for that. And try to use white space. No matter what you write about, don't have long, dense paragraphs. Use lists, use bullets. There's all those sorts of things. They say that emojis do well. Don't overuse emojis and put all of your hashtags at the end of the post, but do not use more than 5.
Wow. Great. Awesome tips. And the content calendar, for me, that really strikes a chord because that makes the idea of posting, you know, being organized and organizing your thoughts and gives you a game plan, so to speak, for how to do it.
Yeah. I love that. Can I give you guys one more tip?
Yeah.
So they create your own hashtags so that you can sort all your posts. So when you're trying to build that calendar, it's really hard to go back from the dawn of time unless you know, when you have that full archive, but having your hashtag, it makes it easy to categorize all your content. And it's not that you're going to be, you know, going viral with this stuff, but at least it's a great way to categorize your content. A calendar is so easy, Brendan. All it is I use a Google Sheet and I just make my life a lot easier because my other tip is repurposing content. That's your best friend. A lot of people do one and done. They post something once, it never sees the light of day again. And that is a huge mistake.
Yeah. Okay. So let's maybe turn to one of the other core uses of LinkedIn that you mentioned earlier, networking. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of advice on networking, some of which has been helpful, others of which have been maybe less helpful. What have you seen in terms of what works as a strategy for networking on LinkedIn? What's some guidance you could give folks on how to best network on LinkedIn?
Yeah, okay. So my advice on how to best network on LinkedIn has a few elements to it. Number one, quality trumps quantity with regard to your network. So it's not about how many people are in your network, it is who is in that network. So think about that. However, the more people in your network, the more people who will see your content. So you want to have a lot of people, a lot of connections. A lot of people get lazy or they don't know where to start with regard to building their network. So they just rely on receiving connection requests and not actively sending them themselves. And that's a huge mistake. You need to I like to think of LinkedIn as like a plant. You need to water your plant. If you just leave the plant on the windowsill, water it once, it will never thrive and grow. It will die. Same thing with LinkedIn. Cultivating your network is so important. So there are a number of things you can do to build your LinkedIn connections. And I would say, number one, think about the whole universe of people you know, which is why you want to fill out your complete education and complete work experience. Because the more you do that, the smarter LinkedIn is about giving you suggestions of people who you may know. So use that people you may know tab and actively send requests. Like, so I'm not a big fan of personalizing each request unless I don't know that person and it's an aspirational person. So those would be the cases where I would say, I saw you speak at an ILTA event. You were terrific. I wanted to connect with you, or I'm a big fan of your content. Would love to connect. Now, that's something I would do. The other stuff, you know, very easy. Just send connection requests. I do it on the commute. I do it when I'm sitting on the couch. You got to actively build your network. Don't wait for connection requests to come to you. Okay. So that's number one. Number two is when you build a presence on LinkedIn and you start getting more visible, maybe sharing content, liking content, other people's making a comment, you build your network. So if you see that, let's say 20 people liked your post and you're not connected to all of them, you should go and connect with those people. Right. If you have creator mode turned on, LinkedIn turns the default button on your profile from connect to follow, so people can follow you but not be connected. So please make sure that at least once a week you're going through the people who have followed you and connecting with the people who you want to connect with, because they will see more of your content. And they will also, there's things that people can't see when they're following you versus connected to you. And it's just a nice thing to do. So I make sure that I do that. Go into your universe of people you met at conferences. Think about people you met, people you saw speak, and connect with those people. I always say update your profile before you go to an event, because you know that you're going to be connecting with people and people will be checking you out. Okay. So all of those things can help build your network. Joining groups. So when you get active in LinkedIn groups, you can start posting and you see people who maybe you have share something in common with. Don't be shy. LinkedIn is all about connecting with people. Now, I'm always concerned about, you know, saying yes to certain people. You have the option to decline a request and people don't know that you've declined that request. The person doesn't get a notification. And also, I don't know if you knew this, but if you send a request and they don't accept, you can withdraw that request. You don't have to, but you can just go into your connections tab and you can see and you can hit withdraw. So, you know, listen, LinkedIn is about building a network. So you should actively use it. And, you know, not everyone will accept your request. That's okay.
Right.
But use it to your advantage.
Yeah. Great. Lots of good tips there. Well, we're winding down on our time here. So I thought maybe we could end with a little bit more of an open-ended question, which really is, you know, what have you seen that you would dissuade folks from in their use of LinkedIn? In other words, what are the no-nos, the stuff that folks maybe thought were a great idea, but really just doesn't get you the bang you were thinking you would, and that you would suggest avoiding this behavior?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of my favorite questions. So, okay, so the things that I think are no-nos, number one, connecting with people who you don't know at all without any note to them, because they can say ignore and they can say, I don't know this person. And if you get a bunch of those, you can get dinged from LinkedIn. So you don't want to do that. Number two, self-promotional content. So many law firms, so many companies, so many people use LinkedIn as a platform simply just to promote themselves. You know, I'm honored and humbled to once again be named for, you know, X award or whatever it is, or vote for me for blah, blah, blah. You need to provide value to your audience, and that in turn will showcase your expertise. So I always say show versus tell versus telling people how great you are. People do not like when you are overly boastful or self-promotional on LinkedIn, so don't do that. The other don't is not using LinkedIn. I mean, it's free. It's there. It's a content machine. It's a visibility machine. If you don't have an email list, if you haven't really posted, this is a great and free way to expand your network. There are 900 million people worldwide on LinkedIn today. So why aren't you using it? And then those things we talked about in the beginning with regard to your profile, make sure you optimize your cover image, optimize your headline, and have a really good biography and your profile photo. Make sure it's up to date, recent. It showcases your face. You're smiling. These things go a really long way. But use LinkedIn is probably the thing that I think most people don't do. And just make sure you have the foundational aspects before you're really going to get very focused on LinkedIn. Because if you're going to drive people to your LinkedIn profile, you should make sure that it really speaks to your expertise and strengths.
Awesome. Lots of good practical tips there. I think we'll probably wrap there. As Stephanie, as you and I spoke before the podcast, I suspect you could probably think about and talk about LinkedIn in your sleep. So we could probably go on for a couple more days. But this has been chock full of good practical tips and advice for our audience. So really want to thank you very much for your time and expertise you shared with us today. And I'm sure folks that tune in are going to get some good tips to take away.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Stephanie, and have a great day, everyone. Thank you.